Hello. Hello.
Hello. And welcome in to Section 119.
We're talking to all things Aggie sports once again for you all. Going through the list. We're going to be talking about basketball. Going to be talking some tennis. Going to be talking some softball. We're going to be talking a lot of stuff.
And you know, not only today are we going to talk Aggie sports, but today's a very special episode of this podcast.
I don't love you guys.
It's Valentine's Day, which means nothing in the world of Aggie sports, so we're not going to talk about it again.
Exactly, except for maybe free stuff on the quad or around campus.
You know, it's too late now. They've probably already, by the time you hear this, it'll be gone.
The reason that I love it. Utah State, well, there are plenty of reasons, but one of the reasons is because of how much free food I get here. As a broke college kid, it's really nice to leave class to go get some free street tacos in the library, and on your way, pick up a free donut and a free six pack of Kit Kats.
Yeah, I had like a full, well balanced meal today.
Can't beat
completely
that.
Free.
That's the only food I've eaten.
Yeah,
actually, that's not true. But
anyways,
Aggie sports.
We were just talking just before the show. It's been an impressive run for any team. Actually, yeah, just any Aggie team, even the basketball team recently, has been doing absolutely terrific. Jaden actually pulled the list
for February. At you. February has been a really good month for Utah State Athletics. So what I did is I went and I looked at all Utah State sports results this month. I took out gymnastics because while the gymnastics team is really good, head-to-head really doesn't mean a thing. Like a win-loss record doesn't matter. So I didn't include their wins and losses in this, and I didn't include track because though they've also been doing well, you can't really measure a win and loss in track. And then what I did is I just compiled everything else together. In February, Utah State Athletics, minus what I just mentioned, is 15-6 over softball, men's and women's tennis, men's and women's basketball, and what am I missing? I think I hit them all.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
The big five. I mean, oh, and golf.
Oh, yeah, golf.
Which just started
over Southern Utah this past week.
So, which they dominated.
Yeah.
It's so weird. For most Aggie fans, I think, because like most Aggie fans just focus on men's basketball and football, they're like, thinking this year is awful. This is the worst time to ever be an Aggie. I've even literally seen discussion about this. Is this the dark ages or the worst time to ever be an Aggie fan? No, it is not. Focus on some other sports, man. They are doing awesome.
But the other sports aren't as fun to watch.
I disagree highly.
I do also.
No, I seriously, I love football. Basketball is my favorite sport. I love football. Absolutely love it. Obviously, I'd rather us be successful in those than anything else. But holy crap, there are so many good sports going on right now.
Think of all the times you watch the Olympics and you're like, wow, these other sports are kind of cool to watch. We're actually good at those sports right now. So yeah. We're going to go through them real quick, just kind of touch on each of those, and then we'll get to men's basketball at the end of the show as well. Let's start off, I think, with probably the best.
I don't think the Aggies have a weightlifting team.
Okay, Alan Bishop, if we had a team, Alan Bishop probably be number one in the nation. So even there, I think we're covered.
Okay.
But let's start with, I think, the team that kind of had the best week, because anytime you beat the number one team in the conference, it's kind of hard for anybody else to beat that. Let's start off with a simple question. How shocked were you guys that Utah State women's basketball beat Colorado State? Not just beat them, but actually quite handily beat them.
Now listen, I am gonna argue with you on the fact that they had the best week because they also did take a loss on Saturday.
Okay, that's
true. But
biggest
win. But they did have the biggest win. Colorado State, that is a very good basketball team who absolutely smoked us the first time that we played them in Colorado where do they play? Fort Collins.
Unfortunately.
And Fort Collins isn't that bad. Yeah. But they beat us by something to the tune of 35 points. And then they come to Logan, and we beat them handily. What?
Another thing that I look at that would put the Aggies against the odds here is You know, the last time we had beaten Colorado State was in January of 1985. And so going, you know, if you're going down to Vegas for being a betting man, which I am not, wink. You wouldn't take that bet because at 1985 till now is quite a bit of time.
Were you even alive in 1985, Trevor?
I was, but not till September of that year, so
it probably happened past September.
So pretty much Utah State women's basketball hadn't beaten Colorado State in one full Trevor.
That's until one full Trevor. Week. Wow. Yeah.
That's an impressive unit of
measure. Let me throw some numbers at you here. So the women's team, they have, and I think I've mentioned this on the show, they have the youngest starting lineup in the entire country. We're talking four freshmen and a sophomore. That's ridiculous. The youngest starting lineup in the country. They were picked to finish second to last in the Mountain West Conference. And came out, had a pretty good preseason, kind of struggled a little bit towards the beginning. Like I said, they fell to Colorado State 74-43. So, you know, blowout there. They fell to Boise State 76-56. Another blowout. And then this month, they've beaten Boise State 65-63. And they blew out Colorado. Well, they didn't blow them out on the
Colorado
scoreboard.
State came
but
back in the last minute, but I mean,
they just looked like a better team against Colorado State, 55-48. They just took a loss at Wyoming. It was an ugly one, but man, they won four straight, so they're 4-1 in the last five, and I couldn't be more impressed with what that team has done this year with such a young team. I just feel like their progression from the beginning of the season to where they are now is ridiculous, and I can't even imagine like 3 years down the road. You know how UConn just won 100 straight?
Slow down. Slow your roll, kid.
No.
There's not even 100 games in between now and then. So, it is impressive. I mean, we talked last week about the men's basketball team beating Nevada, who was the number one team in the conference. And I don't think any of us were really anticipating us having much of a chance against Colorado State for the women.
No.
I
sat down and I said, this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean,
Nevada is a good team for the men's side. Colorado State's probably three times as better than Nevada is. It's tough to underestimate how good Colorado State's been for women's basketball in Mountain West. Without them, the conference is pretty weak. With them, Colorado State's a perennial top 25 team that absolutely wreaks havoc throughout the entire conference most seasons.
Well, and something that I should mention is the loss that came over the weekend was to Wyoming, who's number two in the conference. You know, they're 10-3 in conference play. They're right behind Colorado State, right on their tail, 18-6 overall in the season. So that's, you know, it's a really good team that they just lost to as well.
And one thing that, you know, that what I look at is going when they did go to Fort Collins, got blown out, and they did go up to Boise and got blown out, and they bring them, then the next games are here in Logan, is, you know, it's not only just being the home, because getting blown out on the road isn't going to take, you know, 20 points off for being at home. So what I see in that is they watched their film and they learned what they needed to do differently so that wouldn't happen.
So looking forward for the women's team, on Wednesday, a really good chance to get a road victory over San Diego State, who is currently second to last in the conference. I mean, decent team, but they've really struggled this year, as has their men's team. So kind of similar situations there. So, you know, they have a really good shot to get a road victory on Wednesday. And then Saturday, they come back to the Spectrum, where they're going to play Nevada, who is third to last in the conference. So two pretty pretty good chances for them to keep on this great streak that they're on.
And you look at it right now as just going to be kind of positioning for the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure there's a team in the Mountain West that wants to see Utah State
no.
in the tournament. The way they're playing right now, they can beat anybody. They've proven that. I mean, you beat Colorado State.
Maybe these two games this week are games one and two of that 100 game win streak. They're gonna look at this at the Wyoming loss on Saturday as the last time anyone ever beat Utah State women's basketball.
It's their rebirth.
That's rebirth. Optimistic. I'm pessimistic. I don't see that, but
I just want this to be down in the history books with my voice Today is the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, 2017.
Anyways, there's some other teams that we should also move on to. Let's take a brief mention of men's tennis here. Had a great weekend. I mean, 3-0 is great for any sport weekend. But they also beat their former head coach, which I know the players wanted to do. And then we're able to keep the momentum the next day, beating Marquette and Grand Canyon. But I don't think that's like the biggest thing here for men's tennis. That's not the headline. ITA Men's Indoors National Championship Tournament of Champions or whatever. I can't remember the exact title of it. It's something with indoor tennis champions.
Something.
It's going to be at the University of Virginia, who's the number one ranked team in the country. First round, Utah State's going to be playing number one Virginia. So we've just talked past couple weeks like, no, we don't have a shot against Nevada in men's basketball. No, we don't have a shot against Colorado State women's basketball. I'm going to keep that streak going. We don't have a shot in men's tennis against University of Virginia. So now tennis is probably going to go win.
Huge, huge, huge opportunity. But, you know, that's the number one team in the country for a reason. Now, the men's tennis team, you know, you mentioned they have done really well. I'm looking at the rankings right now, and if I'm not mistaken, they're receiving votes, and essentially they're the 30th team in the country.
From what I know.
Ahead of Vanderbilt.
SEC. SEC.
Yeah, SEC is not much of their tennis conference. From what I know,
that's not where they put
tennis
all their money.
Rankings are – it's kind of weird this year. I mean, they used to just kind of have it just be computers. First couple of rankings, including this past one where the Aggies were like 30th kind of, that was by like a committee. And now these next rankings, I believe, are going to be computer. Mm. The good thing with that is Utah State does have that terrific victory over number 12 TCU, which will help them in those computer rankings. And then going 3-0 after this past weekend as well against a couple pretty decent teams.
Just a little bit of a tough start to the season,
but I mean, even then, I think the teams that they were playing were actually also pretty good. Like San Diego was at least in the rankings at the end of last season. So, yeah. I mean, outside chance to be in the top 30, top 40 in these next rankings, which are actually the ones that are going to be like, I don't want to say legitimate, but I guess more closely watched, I guess.
Shout out to the tennis team, man. They are they're just killing it. Good for them. And hey, you never know. You never know what'll happen this Saturday, correct?
Yep, it's a 4-day tournament with one match each day, but
yep, so this Saturday. No, this Friday looks like it begins, so good luck to them. I want to talk about a sport that is also killing it. Which I could go many ways with this because, as we've said, many Aggie teams are killing it. The softball team started this week. I am really hyped about this team. They started started out at their very first tournament, which was out in Fullerton, California. Yeah, I was thinking it was California. I mean, I knew it was somewhere warm.
Just so you guys know, that was not Fullerton, California. That was Fullerton.
Yeah, so
there's a difference.
So they started in Fullerton, California, with a tournament, 5 games. They started 4-1, and you know, I guess you could start better than that. You could start 5-0, but it wasn't like crappy teams that they were going up against either. They got wins over North Dakota State and Cal State Fullerton. Each of those two teams is picked to win their conference. They got a win over Loyola Marymount, who was picked second in their conference there in the West Coast Conference with BYU. BYU's picked to finish first, and we'll see BYU twice this year. But that's a really good conference. So we beat the second team there in Loyola Marymount. They came back, and they were the team that gave us a loss on Sunday. And then they also beat Pacific, who's, you know, they're not great, but they're not a bad team either. So 4-1. Pretty good start to the season for women's. Well, I guess I don't have to say women's for softball.
Yeah, you have to differentiate at least from like the rec center leagues.
I mean, I guess there is like men's stuff, like co-ed softball.
But we've kind of talked a little bit about softball, about their schedule. They play like something like 30 games
before 25 games on the road before they come home. It's five tournaments, each of which contains 5 games, and then they'll come home for a week or so. hit the road for another couple weeks, and then they'll really be in like full bore conference playing a lot at home.
So my question with that for you two is, softball doesn't receive the greatest crowds here at Utah State, but they do receive some decent ones. What's the win total you guys would want to see from them coming back home for those matches, those first matches, that will really get people excited?
I seriously believe, like, I don't know how possible this is. I haven't really looked into a lot of the teams that the softball team has coming up on their schedule. I've mostly just looked back. I could tell you what, though, man. If they came back to Logan with 20 wins on their belt, that would be huge. I think attendance would be awesome. I again, like, that's a big number. I'm not saying that they should or could do that or whatever, but, like, you imagine them coming in 20-5?
Whew. Yeah, that's what I was kind of expecting, about to say, too, is going, like, about 4-1 in each of these tournaments or maybe better. So, you know, 20-5, that would be the – you know, they do have some bigger teams here in some of these future tournaments, like Memphis.
They've got Weber State this week, who is actually a pretty pretty solid team. You know, I'd be happy if they came back with 17, 18 wins, really. That's a very good start. I wouldn't be, like, poo-pooing on the team if they didn't reach 20 wins or whatever, but that would get me stoked.
Yeah, my point kind of is, like, not a lot of people really know who the good teams are in softball, so they're just going to look at records. Exactly. So, I mean, they could be playing, like, the top 25, like, round-robin schedule right now, and if they went 15-10, people would be just like, yeah, man, they're 15-10.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if they go 20-5, I think...
That's like a number, said, that pops out.
Like, people pay attention when you're at 20 wins and single-digit losses.
I'm just going to say, and maybe this is, like, the Cache Valley winter resident in me that's speaking, who's just so sick of winter. Nothing in the world right now to me sounds better than just sitting out on a nice warm spring day watching some softball on the campus of Utah State University. Sounds so great.
It's going to be fun.
And then cooking steaks on the outside of the fence, because they won't let us cook it on the inside of the fence.
Hey,
we could tailgate for softball.
Whatever it takes to get steaks, I'll do it.
Can't wait for them to return home. So they... you know, I said they got 25 games. They'll return home on the 17th of March.
Mark your calendars.
They're going to have UNLV and Utah Valley at home that week. So, should be great.
Anyways, we're going to continue our little roundabout of Aggie sports here. Let's go on to gymnastics, I think. Like,
cool with me.
I mean, you look at their week. I mean, it kind of looks a little bit drab just because they lost. But we kind of talked a little bit about how gymnastics works a little bit before. It's head-to-head, but head-to-head doesn't matter a ton.
Yeah.
They take, like, an aggregate of scores over the course of a season and average them out, and that's how they get, like, rankings from and tournament seedings and whatnot. So if you actually look at it, they posted their second-highest score of the season. They still lost by a full point because Southern Utah, their opponent, is a top 25-ranked program.
It's a very good team.
Which 16th in the don't country. Expect, but they are. But, I mean... they're actually making some pretty good progress this year. Like, what do you guys think there's a, like, well, let's look at their next game, I guess. Boise State is another top 25 team at number 8 in the country. Do you think there's a chance there? Do you think?
No. There's, let me throw out some numbers for you.
Numbers, yay.
More numbers. I love numbers. Except in some classes that I have to take, which I don't enjoy. The next four meets for Utah State, like, they're just thanking their lucky stars that head-to-head doesn't really equate to a ton in gymnastics. They have Boise State twice, who is number 7 in the country. They've got them at home this weekend and then in Boise in 4 weeks. They've got UCLA, who is number 4 in the country, where they're going to be competing at UCLA. And they've got Nebraska, who's number 16. Whew, good luck. I mean, they're definitely making a lot of improvement. Their last 2 weeks have been their two highest scores of the season. And I think that they're going to have a really good showing at home this weekend against Boise. But Boise State is a really good team.
Here's where I see it's good about that, though. Like you're saying, the head-to-head doesn't really matter as much because it's all on your what you post on your score. So mm-hmm. from that from as of yesterday, Utah State went from 35 last week to number 32 in the roll to the Nationals. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But
and
then,
once a couple of these really low scores get dropped, that's going to help them dramatically.
And also when you play someone, you know, as good as Southern Utah, that's, you know, way up there, and Boise State, that's way up there, that's going to motivate you to compete better because you want to try and win them more. And so that will help you get a higher point total because you're going to want to try and do your best to try and beat them. Even if you can't, that'll still get you a closer, a higher point because you want to be at least as close as you can to that.
And I do know, like, speaking to, like, some of the gymnasts after their win over BYU here at home a couple weeks ago, that's like their next biggest goal. They wanted to sweep BYU, and they took care of that pretty easily. Their next goal is they wanted to beat Boise. That's a major goal. We've already talked about how hard that's going to be, and it's unlikely. But, I mean, if that's your goal and you've been working towards that all season like it seems they have,
mm-hmm.
who knows? Like, maybe not this one that's going to be at Boise State, but they come home here to the Spectrum. They get a big crowd, which I'm assuming they will because it will be their best opponent that's going to be here. You never know what's going to happen. I'm not going to say it will, but I mean.
Just a couple more numbers before we move on from gymnastics. That Boise State, their lowest score of the season. So their very first week, they had a 195.3, which, you know, isn't great. That's Utah State's done that several times this season. After that, though, their lowest score of the season was in week two, where they posted a 196.225. Higher than any score that Utah State has had. Utah State's never, this season hasn't broken 196. Not saying that's not possible. You know, if Boise State has another 196.225 and Utah State goes all out, it's possible. But Boise State's gotten better and better every week. Against Denver this week, they post a 197.075. We'll see. Good luck to gymnastics. You know, more than anything, it would be great for them to beat Boise, but more than anything, I just really hope that they come out and they have a good showing, get a high score that's going to help them in their rankings.
That's all we can really hope for at this point, but let's go on. I think we got one more sport before we get to men's basketball. Just want to give a quick shout-out. Cross country doesn't get any love.
It's cross country and track and field.
Well, sorry. It's just the fact that
they're
not.
Doesn't even get any love from me, apparently.
It's the fact that they're not spectator sports.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to spectate a sport that's going to be like on a like marathon course.
Well, right. Cross country is more in the fall. It's more of a track type stuff coming up, and so it's kind of a little bit easier to spectate that. But they're only here once a year, so they might be here twice this year because we do host the Mountain West Championships. I like watching that stuff, so I'll be there for sure. But you know, it's just kind of hard to go watch that all the time because it's different place every weekend.
We give them our most heartfelt support and wish them all the luck in the world, but it's kind of hard to talk too much about cross country and track.
It's a lot of times, but they did have a good meet this past week. So Trevor, like, what you seem to know the most about this stuff. How'd they do?
They did pretty well. They took 29 of their 29 top fives of their three tournaments they went to, and also they got a new record for their 4x400. I just lost the website it was on, but it was like 3 minutes and 7.23 seconds, I believe, for a 4x4.
It was good.
Sounds fast.
The technology craps out on us, but it was good. Believe us. But I mean,
good for them, man.
That's like one of those sports like that. While it's difficult for me to watch just because like it just doesn't have that same excitement level to me, I always have like tremendous respect for it because I walk up the two flights of stairs to get to this room where we record the podcast and I get winded and gassed. So them being able to run like a 4x100 or whatever it is in that amount of time, it might take me that amount of time to run just like one relay of those.
Yeah, this is a 4x400.
Exactly.
So that one person runs the whole track and then another person runs the whole track. Four people run the full track, not just a quarter of it.
Elevators.
And the one thing I do know about those is those are ones like they sprint the entire time. Like it's just on that like gap between like a short distance to where it's getting to be more of the distance running. So they just have to sprint that entire thing. So props to them for being able to just do that.
Sounds awful.
Sounds like I will give them credit. The best saying I've heard from sports is how, like, cross country is everybody else's punishment.
Men's basketball. You know, everybody, I'm sure, is, like, aware of what's going on with men's basketball. We're not going to give you, like, a season recap or anything. But this week was just, like, the most stereotypical, like, of course it went that way week if you've been watching the team all season. Lose badly in such an ugly fashion. Probably the ugliest game of the year. Well, of conference season for me. At Colorado State. And then go and win a pretty solid game at home against Wyoming. Every time we hit the road, just expect some losses. Every time we come home, we're at least going to compete. And, you know, I mean, I feel like I could just predict the rest of the season right now.
Very possibly could. I'm actually going to speak a little bit on that, the Wyoming win. This might be a little bit of a hot take. I actually found that win more impressive than the Nevada win. Not because of the quality of Wyoming. I don't think they're better than Nevada. But Nevada, I think we were helped a lot by Nevada just playing a horrible game.
No, I'll agree with you there.
Like, Nevada just did not shoot well. And while, yeah, a lot of that was because Sam Merrill played out of his mind defensively and we had a really good game. Nevada scores like 77 per game usually, and then we held them to 59. A lot of that, I think, can be contributed to them having a bad game. This Wyoming game, though... Wyoming played really well.
They did.
Like, they shot lights out in the first half.
That toothpick kid?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he cooled down eventually, but that he's like 7'12" and 102 pounds. And
like, they were shooting lights out, hitting everything. They were at like one point, they were like 100% from three in the first half, and they had shot like six or seven threes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they never actually gained any ground on us, really. They never really made, like, opened up a lead of, like, 8-10 points.
Well,
we stayed with them the entire game.
And beyond us, I think, just outplaying them, another thing that was really impressive is it was really close the whole game. You know, it was trading leads, and most of the time Utah State having a 2-4-point lead or whatever. And then at the end, when they really needed it, even with, I think, as little depth as we have right now with that Shane Rector and whatnot, they just, you know, they pushed down further on the pedal and moved right past Wyoming and did what we needed to do.
I was going to bring up the Shane also, because, like, with Nevada, we had Shane as a backup point guard. And Wyoming, we had a two-guard backing up at point guard. So that's a little more impressive.
From what I've seen on Shane, he was, like, a could-go-if-needed, or, like, you know,
like game
if there was,
decision,
like, an if, like, you know, if, say, Kobe or somebody went down, he could have hopped in. So I expect that we'll see him tomorrow night against San Diego State, and we're desperately going to need him. So I really hope that is the case. But, you know, it is impressive what they did there. But at the same time, I just can't get over the fact that we are almost done with the season, and this team still doesn't have a road conference victory. Now, Coach Duryea has talked about, and to me, like, this makes total sense. He's talked about, we've got four guys who were on this team last year, which means 11 of the guys is 15 total, correct? So
yeah,
11 of the guys, or at least that's NBA. So, you know, a vast majority of the team has never made a road trip to Fort Collins, or they've never made the road trip and played in Taco Bell Arena or whatever, you know? So it's a first-time experience for a lot of these guys, and playing in front of bigger crowds, which Daniel's talked about in past shows and whatnot, that's obviously a factor in it too. But, you know, these are kids who are experiencing the hotel, the plane ride there, the in-game experience, you know, the arena, the shoot-around, all these things for the very first time, which, you know, that excuse I think only gets you so far. It's still inexcusable to me that we haven't won a single road conference game. But, you know, you got to look at every angle of it.
I think it's inexcusable since we've played some teams like Air Force on the road, which I feel like we really should have won.
Colorado State, I think, was a huge opportunity.
Colorado State, kind of a side tangent there. Colorado State is like smoking the conference right now. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, they, like, lost three players.
They're
going to
be scary
reasons.
Next year.
And all of a sudden, they just go on this tear where they're like, they just destroyed Fresno the other night.
I think they're going to have to be the preseason favorite next year. They are because they're going to get, you know, all those guys that were suspended for academics and their redshirt guys jumping in and I mean, not their redshirts, but their transfers.
Yeah. Anyways,
aside from that,
that one, like, I don't know what's gone in Colorado State, but I'm a little bit okay with that loss on the road, at least. The one at home, maybe not so much. I'm going to look forward to these two games on the road that we have against San Jose State and UNLV. Because those are two teams which are very analogous, I guess, to us. They're on our level. Like, well, we've proven that we can play with Nevada, that we can play with Fresno State. I don't think anybody's going to argue that we're in that tier of the conference right now. But UNLV, they're very beatable, like you just said. San Jose State was entered into this season like 350 in KenPom rankings.
Now they've been a surprise.
If we lose those two games, then yeah, it's going to be really nervous for next year how we play on the road.
But now San Jose State, they just beat San Diego State, who again, you know, they've underwhelmed a bit. But San Jose State, they're 6-6 on the seat in the conference play. UNLV though, 3-10. That's a team. They've lost six in a row. That is a team we really, really, really need to beat on the road.
Yeah, and going back to kind of what Trevor really said earlier in the show about like how a road or home, that doesn't make up a 20-point difference. We handled UNLV pretty well when they were here at the Spectrum. So that's going to be where we can kind of see, I think, a lot of, okay, how much does the road affect us? Because we've seen that they can beat UNLV. They have the confidence right now that they can beat that kind of a team or any other team in the conference. If they go out and lose that, that's a big red flag for the players, but also I think for Coach Duryea, I think. That'd be the first major red flag I'd see if they go through this entire season without a conference road victory.
One of my favorite quotes from the great legend Stu Morrill went something along the lines of, if you win conference games, you're a good team. If you win road conference games, you're a championship team and you're going to compete for championships. Road conference games are what makes and breaks teams, which is why I think that this trend has been so alarming to me. I understand it's young, you know, I understand that if we're able to get these both of these games, you know, UNLV and San Jose State on the road, that's going to definitely calm my nerves a little bit. And especially looking forward to next season, it'll change the way I look at it a little bit. But man, they gotta get those.
Yeah, I think you don't come to like the conclusion of like firing a coach or like changing things up based on like one event that happens. It's a series of events. Like unless it's like Baylor, it has to be like you lose frequently in this situation, or you do this. I'm not saying that Duryea needs to be fired at any means, even after the season, but going an entire season without a conference road victory, that's the first red flag. So while that's not a fireable offense, if we don't improve next season, then that seat's going to be getting a little hotter, I think, under Duryea.
You know what would be the ultimate way to like just totally shut me up?
Beat Nevada?
Win at Nevada. I mean, I'm not going to say never, ever, ever, but they got a tough challenge this weekend at Nevada. Tomorrow against San Diego State, that's an interesting game to me because San Diego State, we've never beaten them since we came into the conference. They just always have our number in every single sport. Their athletes are as cocky as could possibly
be. As cocky as their student section.
So as much as like that's a game that I really want to win, it's also a game that I'm really intrigued about. And, you know, they really smoked us earlier this season. We'll see if the Spectrum magic is real and alive.
It'll be a fun day. It'll be a fun game to go watch as a student.
Oh, yeah.
Or any other player, but especially as a student where we sit.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that game is going to depend on which San Diego State team shows up.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen them have some games this year where they have looked like a better team in the conference, but then they show up and then they lose to San Jose State at home. So,
yeah.
Hopefully we get that one.
Yeah, hopefully we do. I'd be well all right with that. And then
just
hopefully
don't
we
really
get the San Jose State
them.
That didn't beat San Jose State. San Diego State show up after that.
They've won 3 out of the last 4 wins against Wyoming, at Fresno, and at home against Nevada. So, you know, some solid wins there. But they lost at home to San Jose State. No, I'm sorry, on the road to San Jose State. And they've, you know, taking it a step further, it's three of the last six that they've won. So total mystery for me. I think that the, you know, being at home might give us a slight edge, but that could be a down to the wire game.
That three of the last six sounds like someone more close to home too.
Yeah.
Just a little. So we got, I think, four games left on the schedule. What's a, I guess, maybe not feasible. Well, actually, yeah, feasible. But what's a record you want to see over those four games that would make you think that we have a shot in the tournament?
There's five, so five games remaining. Yep. So we got San Diego State, at Nevada, at San Jose State, at home against Air Force, and at UNLV.
I always forget the Nevada one because I just kind of contribute that as a loss already.
Yeah. But
we'll see.
You know, like the optimist in me says there's a very real shot. We get four of these with San Diego State tomorrow, with at San Jose, at home against Air Force, and at UNLV. I think realistically, more likely three. I think we'll either drop versus San Diego State or we'll drop at San Jose State along with Nevada. So, but those last two games of the season, man, that's a really good opportunity at home against Air Force and at UNLV to end on a little bit of a high note. Or, you know, they could surprise me. If they win four, I'll be thrilled.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of four and one's what I'm expecting, but if they could win all five, that'd get them on a good roll going in there and show what hope we don't come up against the Colorado State Rams.
Yeah, that's the one team I don't want to see at Vegas. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking 4-1 be good. Judging by what we've seen, I would say San Diego State and Air Force are actually the two games I feel safest about. Then next probably is UNLV. San Jose State and Nevada, I could see us dropping those just because of how inconsistent we are. So mm-hmm. As much as it pains me to say that, it's going to take our last conference road game to get that first one. But, I mean, from what we've seen, that's what I would think. But, again, this season's just been up and down, full of surprises. So they could just go 5-0 for all we know.
Yep. Anyways.
Or they could beat Nevada and then just go 1-4 after that.
Yeah. Hey, nothing would surprise me at this point.
Yeah.
As we've talked about, crazy busy week. Well, really this entire month. February is just a crazy month, as is March for Aggie Athletics. But another crazy busy week with some home games here and there for Utah State. Looking over the calendar, Wednesday, so tomorrow, of course, men's basketball at home against San Diego State, as we talked about. It's an 8 o'clock start time, which I just found out. So that's kind of cool. I'm glad. Give me a little bit more time to get up there from work. Mm-hmm. Then this weekend, softball at the, you know, at a tournament in Las Vegas. They've got a couple of in-state rivals going to be there, Weber State and Southern Utah, both pretty decent teams, as well as Memphis, UTEP, and Texas State. So good luck to them.
Shout out to Texas State. They're my favorite team to play in NCAA basketball video games.
Good old
15 seed.
The Bobcats? Is that it?
Yeah, Bobcats.
Go Bobcats. Yeah. Except on Sunday. Don't go Bobcats.
Yeah.
Gymnastics, Friday night at home. The best team that's going to come to the Spectrum until the conference championship in Boise State.
Women's basketball also.
Yeah.
They're having their two games, San Diego State, at the same time as we're playing San Diego State here.
7:30, so half hour off. Close enough.
Pretty much same time. And then they'll be playing Nevada as well on Saturday. And that game is going to be here in Logan, so.
2 o'clock p.m. What a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
That's a true
matinee. At the Spectrum, man. Love it.
And on the road.
Cannot wait. And as Daniel mentioned, and we mentioned earlier, men's tennis there in Virginia playing the number one team in the country and hopefully beating them and going further in the tournament. But they're in Virginia while women's tennis is actually coming home Saturday against Grand Canyon at 11 o'clock a.m. I'm guessing.
Those are at the Sports Academy. The
Sports Academy.
It's kind of weird. It's behind the Sports Academy, but you have to go through the Sports Academy to get to it.
So, and I guess technically since we will not be hosting, we record this Tuesday night. And before next Tuesday, Monday night, gymnastics at UCLA, as I mentioned, enormous meet for them. Not that they're going to win, but, you know, just the fact that they get to go see a team that's number four in the entire country.
Good measuring
stick. Go head-to-head with them. That's really cool. So, you know, good luck. Good luck to the Aggies. Hopefully next week we can sit down and say how great February has been up to that point, because it's been great so far.
Yep. So when anybody asks you if the Aggies are actually good in sports,
say, yeah, even just though not football the ones
that
you
and watch. Basketball aren't, tell them we certainly are. This is Section 119 signing out. You guys got anything left to say?
Go Aggies.
Aggie on.
We hate Provo.